A play fake. Young goes deep middle. He's got Jerry Rice. Touchdown 49ers!
Welcome to another edition of the 49ers Family Podcast, where three generations of 49ers fans break down the game each week and hear from Grandpa Mike as he shares personal experiences since he became a fan in 1949. My name is Josh, and I'm here with my dad, Jared, and my grandpa, Mike, and we are a 49ers family. Okay, we knew it was going to be a good one. It was a nail-biter, 6-6. I think it was at halftime, if my memory serves me right already. It's only been a few days, but it's been a crazy few days for me. What a game it was, and the Niners come out victorious 19-12. Not really a score that I think any of us would have maybe predicted. I feel like 19 is a kind of a funny number, and 12. We all know how the Cowboys got to 12. We'll get to that in a minute, but I'm just so happy to be breaking down another win. I didn't even want to think about having to break down a potential loss in the end of the season, as good as it's been, but we lived to move on another round in this NFL tournament playoff. And now we go up against the Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday, NFC Championship, third NFC Championship in 4 years, and a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. You know, two more games. Only have to win two more games, especially when you think that we won 12 in a row. Hey, what's a couple more, right? What's a couple more, guys?
Yeah.
but, all right, Grandpa. How you doing? It was fun, by the way, to our listeners. We actually, for the first time this season, we got to watch this game together as a 49ers family. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, Grandpa, how you doing?
I'm doing great. So whenever you beat Dallas, it comes with great satisfaction. And you know, they've been a thorn in our side going way back to the 70s. They knocked us out of the playoffs 5 times. This is the second season in a row we've sent Dallas packing. And then during the week, you know, I read and learned that, you know, that the Cowboy fans are burning their jerseys and Texas is on fire and Jerry Jones has a radio show apparently, and he and his son chose not to show up. So they didn't do the radio show this week. So I get some great satisfaction out of their misery, because they've certainly caused us some over the years. But this was a bar fight. This was, you know, smash mouth football. And it reminded me of, you know, a Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali heavyweight fight that went the distance. So low scoring, 19-12, as you mentioned, Josh, but Dallas this year, during their, you know, the 17 game regular season, they averaged 28 points a game and we held them to 12. So, I mean, our defense is just outstanding. And then the Dallas offense throughout the year averaged 366 yards a game, and we held them to 282. So it was a solid performance, and 2 interceptions, almost 3. We ran the ball 32 times and passed 29. So it was really balanced. And Shanahan has said that he'd like to have an even ratio against Philadelphia, but I think we're going to run more against Philly. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then just a couple of other things that just stand out to me. Our record now this year is 15-4. And just to show you how important the turnover battle is, we're 15-0 when we've won the turnover battle, 15-0. And we're 0-4 when we've lost the turnover battle. So this Sunday in Philly, the turnovers are just humongous. And then there was twice, Fred Warner was covering CeeDee Lamb 20 yards down the field, and both, they were on third downs and both passes fell incomplete. He is a complete linebacker. Nobody can do what Fred Warner does. He's just amazing. So let's see what else. You know, we really shut down Dallas. They typically rush for over 100 yards, and they, last Sunday they had 76. And they, you know, they came into the game with the, and it was true. I mean, their front four applies tremendous pressure, as they did, but they only sacked Purdy two times. So he threw 29 passes and only was sacked twice. And then I know, Josh, you don't like me to mention this, but actually the 49ers don't know that we're even alive. So Robbie Gould, he shouldn't go unnoticed, especially when, you know, we become aware of the Dallas kicker who has missed like 6 out of 7 extra points. But Robbie Gould has made all 67 of his place kicks during the playoffs. And he had 4 field goals on Sunday. So, yeah, I'm just ecstatic. Beating Dallas, it makes my year. We beat the Rams twice and we beat Dallas. So it comes with great satisfaction. And we'll...
And we beat Seattle 3 times. You got to add that to that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're having this special year, and it's going to continue. We're going to go into Philly and beat them and go to the Super Bowl.
Yep. No, it's a super fun season. It's a super fun game. Dad, what were your thoughts? What are some of the things that that you remember from the game?
I remember it just being a slugfest as well. And just, it was just a defensive battle, you know, number one defense against the number two defense, kind of stymied both offenses. You know, we struggled to kind of move the ball in the first half, and especially just to find any kind of rhythm. I really was amazed by Dallas's defense and the speed. I mean, at all positions, they were just a ton of speed and quickness to the ball. They made everything really difficult to get anything going. And just like a slugfest, a heavyweight fight, like Grandpa was saying. That's what I kind of felt. And like we said before the game, it was going to come down to turnovers and penalties. And turnovers, us, you know, we converted both interceptions, turnovers of Dak Prescott's to points, you know, 2 field goals, that was 6 points. We won the game by 7. And also penalties. I mean, they gave us 50 yards, extra yards through their penalties, and we gave them 30. So we were just positive on the penalties, positive on the takeovers. Or takeaways, I should say. Those were key. And then the difference maker, and I said it when it happened, was the Kittle catch, you know, the helmet catch, the juggling act, you know, with chainsaws and knives and balls or whatever he was juggling. but that was the momentum shifted, you know. In fact, that drive, that way it was 9-9, you know, 9-9. What a crazy number at that time. Yeah. And we were driving down the field, and it was unscripted, or I guess in the progression. Kittle really wasn't even in the progression, but he found himself open, found a little opening in the defense, put his hand up, and Purdy got the ball to him, and he made this juggling catch, which ultimately we converted into 7 points. That was Christian McCaffrey made it into the end zone later on that drive, and then we win by 7 points. But that was just a huge momentum for our team. Kittle just comes through, and Purdy delivers. It was just everything that was right with the 49ers that it kind of culminated right then. And that was the game changer that was in the third quarter. So, and that yeah. catch will go down in history if we go on to play in the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. That catch was critical. So anyhow, yeah. those are my thoughts. Yeah, I'm excited for Philly. We got our workout for us, cut out for us, but it was a great win against Dallas. But you know, we're not done yet. So I'm
not done yet.
Yeah, we got work to do, and I know the Niners know that too. So
yeah, for sure.
It was a good win.
And yeah, for sure. I love your comments. David Lombardi, one of our favorite beat reporters, he calls it Nick Kittle's catch the 9 yard catch, because it was 9 yards by the time he touched the ball to caught the ball, and oh, also dodged an insane would be hit from Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah,
somehow yep. missed that, because I mean Kittle might have lost his head. He was totally falling forward. Heck, it might have been even a foul, a penalty. You know, hitting a defenseless receiver that's trying to go for the ball, he totally would have given that guy a concussion.
Laid him out.
And he whiffed. Thank goodness he did, because we still have George and he's healthy. We got a 30-yard catch on a 91-yard drive. Mm-hmm. I remember Grandpa and I looking at each other, and we get the ball in the 9-yard line, our own 9-yard line, and said, oof. Okay, need 91 yards to get a touchdown. And sure right. enough, the Niners put together the drive of the game, 91 yards down the field. A huge George Kittle catch. And then even a George Kittle penalty at the end. There's an interesting kind of story behind that. So we're about, I think it's about the 10-yard line. I forget exactly where we are. 10 yards to the end zone. And Brock Purdy takes what would have been his third sack, in kind of a really spot that you don't want to take a sack at all. But George Kittle sells the defensive holding and like falls to the ground. It turns out the story behind that is that last week, or I guess the previous week, I should say, he totally gets held. And he says, ref, like, I totally just got held right there. Like, you got to call that. And he said, sorry, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. And so George took that as, okay, I guess I got to sell it a little bit more the next mm-hmm. time. And sure enough, yeah, he totally, I think it was either linebacker or maybe slot corner, totally just kind of wraps up George and trips him up, and he falls on the ground and is yeah. like flailing his arms, like, what the heck? And sure enough, drew the attention, drew the foul. That gave us the ball like first and 10 at the first and goal at the 1 yard line, and didn't need anything more than that. And beautiful play, Christian McCaffrey up the middle, untouched for 7 points, or I guess 6 plus the extra point. But huge, huge, huge drive. I think that was, we can all agree that that was a huge, I mean, 7 points in a game that combined to have just whatever, 31. That's a lot of points. That's a fourth of the points of the whole entire game on one drive.
You know, it was a game of a lot of subtleties. Even the fact that Maher, the Dallas kicker, missed the extra point right away the game. It was a block, and he was also the trajectory. He was going to go wide left. And that changed how the coaching staff of Dallas coached the game. There were some fourth downs that they went for it within field goal range, you know, but didn't want to put their kicker out there. And it changed how they coached that game. Yep. That mm-hmm. added up to points. Small little, some key penalties, like personal foul out of bounds on the Niners, yep. the penalty against Dallas, that was a key extra 15 yards. Just all these little things, just what you're talking about with Kittle and that play call down there to keep that drive just going. And put us in better position. Just all these little things, even the juggling, you know, the missed tackle, like you said, that could have laid out mm-hmm. Kittle and he could have dropped the ball. Just all these subtleties to win, you know, 19-12 and just a real bar fight. I like that analogy Grandpa used as well. All these little things just went our way, but we stay steady. We're steady Eddie, and Brock Purdy, steady Eddie. He's nothing spectacular. He's not flashy, and he's not a Mahomes or a Jalen Hurts, or, but he stays in the game. He keeps his team in the game, and he's going to be there at the end. And it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. The tortoise wins the race because they're just steady Eddie, persistent, never giving up. And that's kind of what we did. And we didn't. Mm-hmm. Shoot ourselves in the foot,
he's undefeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's amazing.
Other point on the extra point that was missed. You're absolutely right, Jared. I was thinking of this during the game, how important that was, because had he made it, when it was 6-6, it would have been 7-6. When it was 9-9, they would have been leading 10-9. And then the strategy is different. And then at the end, instead of 19-12, it would have been 19-13. They trailed by six. And then if they scored a touchdown, they would have won the game, you know, touchdown and extra point. But yeah, that one point kind of lingered throughout the game, and it was very, very important. Yeah.
They went for a 4th-and-4 in field goal range at one point in the game. You know, they could have kicked a field goal. They didn't want to do that. And Dak Prescott, through one of his interceptions, was in field goal range. I mean, they were pushing the ball because they didn't trust the leg. You know what I mean? Yep. I mean, they could easily outscored us if they had faith in their kicker, and the kicker would have converted. So the stars were aligned, and we took advantage of it.
Yep. This is a special season. It's special. I've been through 70 of them. And
yeah, that's right.
This is really special. I mean, a lot of things are going our way. We've certainly had injuries. We've lost two quarterbacks. it just gives me a special feeling. This whole thing.
So. Yeah. And my last thing. Go ahead,
and Dad. We're healthy, you know, that's what's nice.
And we're healthy.
Right now, I mean, it is peak time to be healthy. And we have Brock Purdy, and we got healthy playmakers. So, I mean, we are in the best position we could hope to be in right now is we're there. Now we got to make it happen.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, the other thought go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go ahead, Grandpa.
The other thought I had, let's see, what was the thought, had we, you know, and I hate to cry over spilt milk, but had we beat Chicago or Denver or Atlanta, just one of them, we would be playing this game at home. Mm-hmm. And that's why I get so upset when we lose, especially to teams we should beat. Because at the end of the season, it's so meaningful. Had we won one of those games that we sure should have won, we would be playing it at home, and I'd rather play at home. So anyway, those are thoughts on Dallas.
I mean, my last couple of thoughts is looking at the box score, things that, you know, were encouraging to see. Because I think I mentioned this on the last podcast, but I'll say it again if I didn't, is that as tough of a test as Dallas was, one of those things that, like, you know, kind of like the boulder going down the mountain, or all those different refiner's fire, those different analogies of how, like, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. You know, definitely Dallas made us stronger. Especially headed into an Eagles game that's going to be similar in the sense of the physicality and kind of the opponent. I mean, the Eagles saw the Giants. The Giants beat the worst, third place team ever in the Vikings. And the Giants weren't even that good. They finished their season 2-5-1. And the Eagles just, took them to town. It didn't look like it was really even going to be a contest after the first quarter. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Brock Purdy has now seen a team like Dallas and can kind of know what to expect a little bit more out of the Eagles because, I know Nick Sirianni is getting a lot of love, potential Coach of the Year candidate. But also, we talked a lot about Dan Quinn, and they sure talked about him a lot on the broadcast that, he's going to be probably a head coach next year. Called a heck of a game on the defensive side. We just scored 19 points, which was more than they scored. But he gave them the business and threw a lot of stuff at them, and they shut down a lot of our kind of really good plays, screen plays, different plays that set up our offense.
Yep.
They played pretty sound defense and held a team that was scoring 38 points a game to half of that, to 19. But once again, it's more than they scored, and that's how you win a football game. So I'm just excited kind of transitioning into the, Philly week now, or if you guys have any last comments on the Cowboys, feel free. But all I'm trying to say is that I feel even more confident about this Eagles game because we played the Cowboys, because I feel like it has made us stronger, specifically Brock Purdy and our offense that really hadn't seen an elite defense for, 1 to 2 months. It's not a secret that we had an easy back half of the schedule. So that's encouraging to me.
It is encouraging. Yep. Bring on Philly.
Yeah, I agree. I think even Seattle set us up. The Raiders gave us a little test. All these little things that kind of started just holding our feet to the fire a little bit, just to kind of get us ready to play a team like Philly that's very well balanced on both sides of the ball and don't have a lot of weakness. And a very good, offensive and defensive line. It's all of these games, and particularly Dallas, has kind of allowed us to cut our teeth on these other teams to be prepared for, Sunday. So I think that's well said, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, we played Philly last year. It's almost hard to remember it. It was the second game of last year, and it was at Philly, and we won 17-11. So that's probably what we're looking at this time too, a low scoring game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it will be too. I think it'll be a real battle, kind of like the Dallas game, and just it come down to mistakes and turnovers, penalties, the small little things, and converting when you're in the red zone and making the field goals. It could come down to kicking. So, it's about converting, moving the ball, and taking advantage of every opportunity to put points on the board. But it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is.
Yeah, it will be. So this NFC Championship game is going to be on Fox. We get the number one broadcast crew, of course, of Fox again. The game is at 12 noon Pacific time. It will kick off, obviously, in Eastern time at 3 p.m. Right now, the spread is Philly by 2.5. I saw also Philly by 3, checking some other sports books. The over and under set at 45.5, so maybe 3 more points than was predicted.
Went up to 40.
Oh, really?
It went up to 46 today. Yeah.
Okay, there you go, 46.
Anyway.
Yeah, and as you said, Grandpa, last time we played, the Niners beat them. I honestly can't even remember that game, and I think both teams are so much different since then. But from just all around, But it should be a good game. Even weather, weather shouldn't be too bad. It's no like precipitation or anything. It's supposed to be cold. I mean, it's still Philadelphia on at the end of January. So it's going to be around 40 degrees, but not freezing, just cold. And hopefully, you know, that you know, the weather just lets it be a good game, because it sure is shaping up to be. I think these last, before we get into more Philly, you know, I think these AFC and NFC championships are just, you know, besides the only team that I think might deserve and had a chance to get into the championship round are the Bills, and the Bills totally squandered their opportunity. Somebody made a really good point saying that the fact that the Bills are, the Bills offense is predicated on the pass, and they are based out of Buffalo, New York, is kind of a crazy thing, because, and it's something that I've kind of noticed in the last few rounds of the playoffs, is that running the ball and stopping the run in the playoffs is huge, because these games are, tend to be cold unless you live in a dome and you have home field advantage, you know, throughout. You know, being able to run the ball and stop the run is huge. And the Bills went, got sent home because it's pass or nothing. You know, Josh Allen tries to run here and there, but you know, sure enough, the Bengals took them down in their home stadium, and it's shaping up to be a really, really, really good championship round. I think the NFL is very pleased with the teams that they have on both sides.
I'm sure they are. And one other thing about Cincinnati and Kansas City, Mahomes is 0-3 against Cincinnati, which is kind of hard to believe, but he's never beat them. And so here they go again. And then the other thing, and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but that's okay. It's fun sometimes, is the matchups. So we win Sunday, we could play Cincinnati, who we've already played twice in the Super Bowl and beat them both times. Or we could play Kansas City, who we lost to in 2019. Those are, you know, we'll see what happens, but those are future matchups.
Yeah. Either way, both good teams. You know, I think a lot of people, myself included, and Grandpa put you in this boat with me, a lot of people didn't really respect the Bengals last year. In fact, they made it to the Super Bowl was like, really? The Bengals in the Super Bowl? Dang, the Rams got it easy. But this year, I will be completely honest, this year I respect them a lot more. I think they are a more complete team even than they were last year. And they're a force. And, you know, props to their team, their coaching staff, Zach Taylor. They fully believe and deserve to believe that they can win any game against any team, especially with Mr. Joe Cool Burrow at the helm. That guy drives me nuts, but he just exudes like confidence, and his whole team has bought into that winning culture.
Mm-hmm. Right. A year ago, their offensive line was atrocious. It was terrible. They had injuries, and some of them weren't very good. But this year they are much better, and so they can beat Kansas City. That'll be a good game as well.
Yeah,
Mahomes has got his high ankle sprain, so he'll be a little less mobile.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow, though, he's ice in his veins. I take him all day long, and I love the kid. So I think it could be Cincy. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a lot of fun. Two great quarterbacks matching up, you know, for sure. And those Bills, they're like cursed. I mean, they went to like what, 4 Super Bowls with I forget the guy's name, but and they kept losing. They couldn't punch their ticket and get the trophy. You know, this was back in what was the 80s, or when did they have their run with?
So who this is Buffalo?
Yeah, Buffalo.
Yeah,
that was Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly, yeah.
They went 4 years in a row. We should have played them once in Super Bowl 25, but Roger Craig fumbled. Anyway, Buffalo went 0-for-4, just like Minnesota did.
Yeah, I know. That was so sad. I mean, it was crazy.
So sad. Oh, man. I've seen that ESPN 30 for 30 about those Bills teams, and it is so depressing. I mean,
it is totally.
I knew that they had been in the Super Bowl. I honestly didn't know they went 4 times in a row. Mm-hmm. They were, I mean, like 2 field goals, 2 different times. We're a field goal away from winning, and it's like the football gods just didn't want them to win. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, well, we're getting away from the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. So, Niners, Eagles. I know we've shared a few things already, but Grandpa, I'll ask you this: what makes you nervous? And then kind of complement with that with what makes you optimistic about the game.
Well, let's do optimistic first. And one of the things I did this week was I looked back at where Philly lost, and they started the season out 8-0, just a house of fire. They were burying people. And in game number 9, they played the Washington Commanders, and Washington just ran the ball. They ran it 49 times.
Wow.
And their time of possession was 42 minutes, and wow, they beat Philly. So I look at that as kind of the blueprint, and I think we're going to run the ball a lot. I mean, so that's going to be our game plan, is to just run the football. Now, certainly we're going to pass 20 something times, but it'll be primarily running. And that's where Philly is weakest. They're ranked, I think it's number 12 against the run. They're way up number 2, 3 on everything else, but against the run, they're 12. And they give up 4.9 yards a carry. So 5 wow, yards a carry. So that's what I think we're going to do. Now, the pessimistic side is Philly is very, very good. They're very good in the trenches. They have they had 70 sacks this year, which is the third most in the history of the NFL. And they play with 5 down linemen. So they really rush 5 guys instead of 4 or 3. And it's paid off for them. So they've got 4 guys with over 10 sacks. I mean, they're all number one picks, their defensive line. And then their offensive line is also very, very good, at least 3 of them, including their center, who's Kelsey's brother. And then, of course, Jalen Hurts is... You know, he's a finalist for the MVP, and he can do it all. He can run, he can pass, so he's going to be a handful. Then they have some wide receivers. A.J. Brown is, he averaged 17 yards a catch, and he had 88 catches. So he had almost had 1,500 yards receiving. And they got him from Tennessee right before the season. That was gold. And then the other thing that will be a factor is the fans. The fans in Philly are loud, and they're rude. They're, they have this reputation that they would boo Santa Claus, and it's true. They'll be on the Niners from when they come out on the field. They're going to get booed all day long, but it won't matter because they've been through this before. But the fans will make a lot of noise, and they could make a difference.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. think you made some good points, Dad. What would you add?
I would just add, yeah, they have a ferocious pass rush. Their defensive line is just very, very quick. A lot of pressure on the quarterback, even more so than Dallas, you know, just statistically. So we got a scheme against that. And I think that's where we do run a lot. And the run is going to set up our pass, you know, opportunities, but we'll be a run dominant kind of scheme offensively, I think. We're going to have to get creative because of their size and speed, you know, in the trenches. I think that's kind of the main thing. And then I think other worries are just Jalen Hurts, just playing a mobile quarterback. I mean, we haven't played a lot of mobile quarterbacks with our, you know, this season, that somebody that can throw the ball and who can run and act as a runner, and yet you can't tackle him like a runner because he might slide. I mean, it just creates all kinds of adjustments defensively. And it's just an extra element we haven't really had to scheme for. But they do it better than, I mean, any other team in the NFL, really, with Jalen Hurts being somewhat healthy, it appears. So that worries me. But optimistically, I think we have a tremendous defense that's gonna really limit, you know, the scoring opportunities for Philadelphia. And we have great playmakers. And Purdy's just going to have to figure it out and get the ball in our playmakers' hands. And I think some yak yardage is going to be the difference. And it's going to be a tight game. So those are kind of my thoughts.
Yeah. I'll add to, I think you all made some really good points. I'll add that one thing that I heard that is super encouraging is that like we said, I think they're 12th overall against the run, and when you consider DVOA, which kind of averages out the opponents and the recency of games, etc., I think they were like 21st in ranked DVOA against the run. Yeah. So that is encouraging. And then the other is that as far as yards given up to opposing, this is kind of a crazy statistic, but opposing running backs with their receiving yards. I think you guys know what I'm trying to say, but yards by running back, they're terrible. They're terrible covering that outlet in space and accounting for him, which, as we know, is a huge advantage for our boy Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. So that's definitely something that I think we're going to exploit.
Yep.
And test them there, because, I mean, that's a huge part of our offense. And then lastly, I saw another thing that, you know, based on their division and the games that they've played, the Niners love to run a ton of 21 personnel and have a ton of different motions and packages out of it. The Eagles have seen the least amount of plays in 21 personnel out of the whole entire league, which is, once again, super strength against weakness. Maybe it's a weakness. Maybe it's because people don't want to go 21 personnel against them or something. I'm not a football mind to be able to give you that kind of theory. But just, I think, definitely worth noting, at least, that they have seen one of our strengths not very frequently. So just, you know, that's something that was even talked about before the Cowboys game, also NFC East, the whole 21 personnel thing, because that's how we destroyed Seattle as well. So, you know, yeah, this game, as close as it is and should be, and the Niners are the underdog by 3 points. You know, the only difference is that it's at Philly and not in Santa Clara, because I think the Niners really can give these guys a tough time, and we have obviously a ton of momentum behind us. So I'm so excited. I'm a nervous wreck at the same time, but I'm also just so excited for even the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's going to be good.
It's special gonna be, year. It's going to be our year.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yep.
I mean, wouldn't that be something? Like you said, Grandpa, it has been such a special year, and whatever happens, even if we aren't able to, take down the Eagles this year, what a year, not settling at all, but just admitting that I did not think that we would be here when Brock Purdy went down, when Jimmy Garoppolo went down and Brock Purdy went in. I thought, oof, can Brock Purdy keep us afloat until Jimmy G is back? And he has done everything but that. He has taken us to the next level. And Jimmy G, this is, we once again record these on Wednesday nights, had an x-ray to determine, where he is in his recovery, how much, can he stress his ankle, et cetera. And he's not going to be active for this game. If we were to win this game, the Super Bowl is 2 weeks later, so he most likely would be able to be in a backup role for the Super Bowl, but he's ruled out for this game. And so, this is the Brock Purdy show. This is the 2023 49ers. Thank Jimmy for getting us in this position. But man, I am just so pumped up for this game. So proud to be a Niner fan this year, and excited to see, honestly, where we go from here, because Brock Purdy has shown that he can be the guy. I think he will be the guy until, something crazy happens, not wishing anything upon him, but injuries mm-hmm. happen, unless he gets injured and that gives Trey an opportunity. I think he is going to be the guy in OTAs, in training camp, as Trey's getting back from his injury. It just makes sense. He's going to be QB1 for the foreseeable future. And I'm stoked about it, because we could definitely, hopefully, be back in the same exact position next year in the NFC Championship with the great majority of this team that's still intact.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Brock Purdy is taken over the 49er quarterback position. I mean, it's not even debatable. So when we get to next year, he will be the starter. And then I think if he wins the Super Bowl, we've got a rookie quarterback that has taken us to the promised land. And how beautiful would that be? I mean, it's never been done before.
Never.
So, these are things they make movies about,
yeah.
And it's real life. So it's very exciting, and it's just, this whole year has been special. The surprise of Brock Purdy, he's got every team, not every team, but many teams, team owners questioning their general manager, why didn't we draft him? I mean, he lasted till the seventh round. Why? What was your, scouting report on him? And they've now exposed a couple of the scouting reports on Brock Purdy, and they were terrible. This guy, he'll never make it. So, these guys, they don't really know. We're fortunate to have him, and it changes. The whole light on Trey Lance. When we get to next year, we don't need to think there yet, but Jimmy will go sign with somebody else, and then we have Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy is going to be the quarterback. So anyway, all that'll take care of itself as time marches on.
Yep. No, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, props to the Eagles as well. You know, they're set up with for the future with the young quarterback themselves that's in the MVP conversation. Jalen Hurts considered changing positions to get into NFL because people didn't think he could make it as a quarterback. And so, man, you know, congrats to him too. Should be one heck of a matchup, and it's going to be just awesome. I can't wait. It's going to be a great weekend with a couple great championship games. Let's do some score predictions. Dad, let's have you go first.
Okay, I think that the 49ers are going to win, and the score will be 21-17.
Okay. Very good. Grandpa, you go next.
Okay, I'm right with you, Jared. I think the Niners will win 24-21.
Grandpa, that was mine. I also think the Niners are going to win.
Well, we all think alike, so that it's okay.
Yeah, maybe because we all watched the last game together. But no, I think it's going to be, you know, similar to, but a little different from that Dallas game. Every point's going to count, and I just count on our running game to eat up some clock. And really, you know, as you know, physical of a team as Philadelphia is, they're coming off of a game against not that physical of an opponent, and haven't seen the Niners all year. You know, they saw the Cowboys twice, they saw the Commanders twice, etc. They haven't seen us yet, and so we do have an inherent ability to be physical, and that takes a toll, especially into the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter. So we might even be down in the third quarter, but I believe in our defense. I believe in our offense in the second half to get the job done. But it's going to be awesome. Can't wait for it.
Yep.
We'll do it.
Good stuff. Any last thoughts on this Eagles game?
No.
No, I heard one, I guess analyst or commentator, he was joking, but he was saying, you know, how Rocky Balboa is, you know, Philadelphia's kind of
right,
an icon. And this could be Brocky Balboa taking down, being the underdog coming into Philly and punching the supposed, you know, the bigger, most difficult opponent, taking him down. So anyhow, we'll see if Brock can be Brocky and lead his team to victory. I believe he can. And I mean, we just have so many good role players and leaders on this team, defensively and offensively. I mean, I love the character of this team, and it's just a battle of wills and mindset at this stage of the game. They're all, you know, the best at what they do. And I think we are very, very strong on that end and have a great advantage. So that's my last thought.
So the radio commentator that drew the parallel to Rocky, we should remind him that Philadelphia is also famous for the Liberty Bell, which has a crack in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe the Eagles will have a crack in their game.
There you go. There you go. We'll take it.
There you go. All you got to do is win one game and punch your ticket to the Super Bowl, and then you get a shot, get a shot at winning it all. Got to get there, and anything can happen in that game, as we know. So, man, it's going to be fun. Well, all right. that will do it for another episode of 49ers Family. I hope to be breaking down another victory next week. If not, you know, we will still get together and recap the season. But hey, we're not even going to talk about that. We're going to win this game. We'll be back here next week. But yeah, should be a good one. But all right, until next time, go Niners.
Go Niners. Go Niners.